Shit, guys, the Minatis are coming. Fire our shit.
But I'm not tired.
Okay, fine. Have a nap, as in fire the podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for April 3rd, 2009. Yay!
Woo!
I got
party,
the date
party.
Right. Okay. they were threatening to kill me if I didn't get that right, so I was pretty excited. Hi everyone. We're coming at you from three different places because I'm back at the EBP headquarters in Youngstown. This is Mike Minotti and my brother Edge Guy is in Pittsburgh. Say hi, Edge Guy.
Hello.
And our good friend, George Kokoris, I call him Reg, is, where are you right now? You've been all over the place lately.
Well, I am currently in Brooklyn, in what is left of my apartment. Just about everything is in boxes now, so.
Oh. I thought something terrible happened. What's left of it? Like, what happened?
Oh, there was this tornado the other day, and
that makes a lot of sense.
Just hit his apartment.
It was
it was
just earlier today, you know. And I haven't gotten a chance to bitch about it on the internet.
So it's us three, and this is good. George, you were our first guest anyway, so we're full circle now.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So here's what
the
we're doing.
The cycle is complete.
Show. Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
More or less.
All right, so we're doing news, and then, Reg was at GDC, so he's going to talk to us about that, give us some first-hand impressions. Won't that be exciting?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
I'm all up in that piece.
After that, we're going to go to Game of the Year 1993, which will be interesting. It's the first time the year hasn't been crazy good, I'll say that, but it's interesting. It's an interesting year.
I've got my game picked out, and I'm prepared to fight for it.
Spoilers,
oh,
probably missed. All right, let's keep going. So then after that, we'll get the Great American Edge Guy Gaming Quiz, which is inspired by the games of 1993, as always. Then we're going to do our weekend gaming, which will be fun. I was playing some co-op Resident Evil 5 with Beige. That'll be my highlight. Then we're going to just talk about some of the downloadable game releases, then the weekly game releases. But then at the very end here, last time Reg was on, I think we were talking about Dragon Quest V and they've been adding the subtitles to all the Dragon Quest games, and I said, I want to add subtitles to all the Final Fantasies, and George was like, yeah, let's do it. So,
we're
finally doing that. So we'll unveil our subtitles at the end of the show, and Edge Guy gets
to
pick a favorite.
Oh, man, this is going to be epic.
I'm
excited.
It is. It's going to be good stuff. All right, so why don't we start off the news, Edge Guy? Why don't you do that?
Okay, so I pulled up an interesting thing from the experimental gameplay session over at GDC about some features that were cut from Flower. The
PS3 were cut
indie
from
game.
Flower?
Yeah, listen to this stuff. It's pretty crazy. Like, they used to have timers, which they thought would help motivate the player. They have desert terrain, which would cost the players who flew over it like pedals. So it was like a danger border area. They had a spell system that allowed you to gain improved flight abilities. And they had orbs in which you had to deposit pedals to unlock checkpoints. Basically, they found that with these systems in place, as people were playing the game, they were cursing a lot and getting upset, and they realized if they took all that out and made it the game it was a much more mellow and enjoyable experience. So
that's a really good tactic, actually, to get people to play your game and to try to minimize the amount of times they go, fuck!
Yeah, like, it makes sense. I mean, it is a game. You don't want to sit there being frustrated and annoyed. Like, because, I mean, not once during the play of Flower was I like, oh, this game sucks, it's so hard, blah, blah. I just, like, kind of did it, and it was very enjoyable.
Yeah,
I think that's the idea.
Yeah, it's definitely a game that needed to be as simple as possible.
I just want to bring that up. We have, apparently, there is a GameCube emulator called Dolphin, which has been rejiggered to also play Wii games, which really does demonstrate how similar the two are. Anyway, using this, we can now see what Wii games look like in glorious 720p. And,
I saw the video, and I couldn't tell much of a difference.
Did you watch it in HD?
Maybe.
Did you click the HD button and it get bigger?
No.
If you weren't watching
in
HD, you fail.
Well, it's hard to see the HD video not in HD, Mike. You should go and watch it.
But they're Wii games. Who cares?
It actually looks really nice.
Oh, my God.
like Smash Brothers in 720p looked really good. And your computer might be able to handle it. You can use the Homebrew channel to send dumps of your Wii games to your computer
gonna
to play.
I'm not going to emulate my Wii games on my computer so that they can be in some higher res that they were never meant to be in.
Well, I've got a week-long Easter break coming up, so I just might.
Well, you're not allowed to.
Says you.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's right. You just okay. Just get out of the way, Reg. This is going to get ugly.
Okay, I will step aside and let you duke it out.
I'm going to do it.
Oh, man.
Well, I guess I
win.
Send me your screenshots.
Oh, I totally will, and I'll put it on YouTube and Ustream, and it'll be great.
Oh,
screenshot,
man,
it's
gonna be so cool, guys.
All right, let's move on. So at long, long last, 9 years later, the PlayStation 2 is $99.
Oh, boy.
Sony actually expects the PS2 to cut into the Wii's market share in some manner, which I highly doubt will happen, but,
was,
you know.
Was somebody out there hoarding out for this? Since the PS2 came out,
I doubt that.
They saw the PS2 like Time Splitters and Dynasty Warriors 2 and all those other launch games that are like not bad, but maybe once it's under $100.
Finally, I can afford that next generation console I've always wanted.
Who doesn't have a freaking PS2 years. Right now that wants one? Honestly.
I can't imagine.
Well, I'm sure
sales are going to spike a little bit. You know one guy?
He lives on the train and he smells like cat litter. But
does he have $100, Reg?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Does he have a TV?
I mean, he might. He's got a very large shopping cart. There might be a TV in there somewhere.
Does he have teeth?
Let me get back to you on that.
All right.
Just stereotyping.
I'm stereotyping homeless people.
Yeah.
Oh. Sure.
I live in New York. I can stereotype all I want.
That's right.
Okay.
You
EA
can't control
me. Yes, I can. Quiet. EA has released the Secure ROM removal tool. So if you're afraid of going over your activation limit in EA games, you can now use this to deactivate stuff. So that's nice.
I mean, it's nice. It's nice that they're doing that. It's just, you know, it was funny actually because I ended up just getting Mass Effect on Steam because that the Steam version doesn't have Secure ROM on it, and then finding out that they were releasing this little tool to remove to deauthorize the game. It was just this awkward reminder of, oh yeah, they did that really shitty thing that made me angry like 6 months ago.
How is that PC version of Mass Effect?
Hmm?
How's that PC version of Mass Effect?
Much better than the 360 version. I mean, I've got a pretty powerful machine, so it runs very quickly. It's a lot smoother than on the 360, and the interface is just much more sane.
It's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, that was the primary appeal for me.
In a similar story, they announced that when The Sims 3 comes out, there will not be DRM, just a standard CD key.
Yes!
Right. I know, right?
Now, if only they could do that with the game I actually wanted to play.
Eh, you know. Baby steps.
Okay, one thing at a time.
Alright, so this past week was April Fool's Day, or as I like to call it, Liar's Day. We had a couple amusing things.
You said that last year, and I groaned badly. I remember now.
Would you like to groan?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Liar's Day.
Let's continue.
You said the same exact thing. I could probably go to that last episode, and it would be like, you know, last whatever was April Fool's Day, or as I like to call it, Liar's Day. Ha ha ha.
Well, I'm nothing but consistent.
There
you
go. You
gonna talk about the Legend of Zelda trailer?
Dude, I still want that movie. Anyway.
Oh, God.
Let's not go down that road. Okay, so the first joke
Real
that
quick.
I saw that... What?
I never forget my one friend who called me on April Fool's Day last year and said... We were talking about April Fool's Day jokes, and he's like, oh man, you know what I saw that was awesome? And it definitely isn't an April Fool's joke. It was the new Zelda movie trailer.
Who was that?
It was Pete. It began, of course. His name begins with a P and ends with a J, AJ.
Yeah, shocker.
Okay. Oh, geez, how can you possibly take that out of context?
It says coming April 1st. at the end of whatever.
2009, and it didn't come. I'm pissed.
Damn it, those bastards. Now, of course, you know what would have been the ultimate April Fool's joke is if they actually had released it on April Fool's Day this year, and they were like, April Fool's, it wasn't a joke.
That would have made my day.
Oh my god, that would have been the most... That would have been better than a Rickroll.
Yeah, we'll make a movie that'll show you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright. Well, the first thing I saw was... Bethesda made all of the Oblivion content half off for the week, except horse armor, which now costs twice as much as usual.
Oh my god, I love that.
I thought that was brilliant. And it was great, too, because I got the last piece of Oblivion DLC I needed for less than $1.
Oh, sweet. Oh,
wow. That's not that Max, because only an idiot would want horse armor anyways, right, Edgeguy?
Oh, shut up. It protects my horse, damn it.
You, like, got that right when it came out, so you're like, oh, cool, horse armor.
I was sipping the Oblivion Kool-Aid.
So you're like, how much money do you want?
It
you
open sipping. Up your wallet. I think sipping is putting it nicely.
Yes. I'm trying to spare
chug,
myself.
Chug, chug.
So Blizzard did their usual cavalcade of silliness.
Those were quite good.
I was
very fond of the banner. So you think you can slash dance?
Yes. Like the only thing is like, okay. Well, here let's go through them real quick. So they had one for each of their games, basically. So StarCraft II, they revealed the Terratron unit, which takes all of your base elements and turns them into a giant Megazord-esque battle machine. Which
Terratron, terrorize.
They have gameplay footage of this thing. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they went all out.
They had a new class for Diablo 3, the Archivist.
Archivist.
Archivist, I always say that word. Again, full gameplay videos of this old man creeping around, blowing everything up, and then like a zombie just touches him and he dies instantly. And then
his attack is a whirlwind of book pages called the Lornado, which I love.
Yes,
that Lornado. Was adorable.
And then the last one was the WoW dance battle system with you could create your dance teams and compete. And they had a trailer, which I mean, it's great that they go all out for these, but I almost want to be like, should you guys be making Diablo 3 faster? Quit it.
So that's why Blizzard takes so long. Mystery solved!
It's all April Fool's Day fault.
That would be real. I would love to see like a pie chart with a breakdown of the amount of time they spend on their games and the amount of time they spend on their April Fool's jokes. This is not proportionate with a 365-day year, guys.
Well, wasn't there also a Pimp My Mount April Fool's Day joke? I think it was one of the foreign... Companies.
Yeah, it wasn't such a big deal.
Well, my favorite one was from, I think it was 2 years ago. It was right after EverQuest 2 added the fucking slash pizza option, where you could actually order a pizza from Domino's in-game. And the following April Fool's Day, Blizzard added Pandaren Express to fucking WoW, where you could order Chinese food and it would be delivered by an actual Pandaren.
I want to know who believed that one. An actual Pandaren, oh my god.
Yeah.
How do they find me?
Yeah.
Another one I got that I thought was amazing, because I've actually been reading through the Player's Handbook for D&D 4th Edition. Wizards of the Coast announced that in the Player's Handbook Volume 3, created in conjunction with Jerry Holkins of Penny Arcade, would be a new playable class, the Witchalox. Did you read this
from Song of the Sorcerer?
No, they had the preview where it's like the first two pages of the character description and abilities.
The flavor text was hilarious.
Oh my god, it's amazing. It's like, you know, the Witchlock does not have spells or abilities. Rather, they are referred to as sorcellations. And it's like level 1 daily in sorcellations. And they're so ridiculous. The one's like called like slow clap. It's like you emerge from the shadows slowly applauding at your opponents. Roll against their constitution, they might become, like, confused. Like, one of your, like, racial abilities is, like, awesome. It's, like, whether you're stepping out of your pimped-out Lamborghini or flying through the air on a motorcycle, all your enemies find you incredibly cool and want to hang out with you if you're not doing anything later.
Oh, that was a nice one.
Oh, God. Then, I don't know, did you guys see any other ones you liked? Those were my three favorite ones.
IGN did, like, it was like some sort of thing where there's going to be, like, a new downloadable mode for Smash Brothers that's going to unlock blood, basically.
Oh, yeah, they should, like, Mario getting decapitated.
The video looks good enough until that happened, really. But, so right. that was IGN's kind of follow-up to the Zelda thing.
Oh, the most recent, zero punctuation was an April Fool's joke.
Oh, that was good.
That was pretty nice. It was, last week, Yahtzee guest starred on Unskippable. So this week, one of the Unskippable guys, tried to horn in on zero punctuation and tried to do a review of, X-Blades. And then, like, stuttered halfway through, Yahtzee kills him and then goes on to review Halo Wars. And it was
awesome.
When I describe it, it doesn't sound as funny as it actually is, but you definitely need to see it. Because I don't remember his name, but he actually did like a halfway decent job.
Yeah, it was going well. It's just, it loses something when you don't have that accent.
Yeah. And also when you can't talk that fast without, like, tripping all over yourself.
Yeah. And also, the end of his Halo War review was hilarious.
Does he?
Yes, that was,
like,
yeah,
Halo
the little clip at the end. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, just go watch it, Mike. It's amazing.
Yeah, you have to see it. It's very funny.
Does he pretend to like Halo Wars?
No. It's just some outlandish
like
random
games.
Bullshit.
It's a very good summation with a lot of my frustrations of real-time strategy games.
But you liked Halo Wars.
And gaming in general. Yeah, but no, it's a mechanic. Just watch it. Trust me. We'll talk about it later.
Okay, I'll be right back.
No, not now.
Hey, guys, can we put the podcast on hold? I'm going to go watch a video on the internet.
Yeah. Let's move on. So this one, I actually kind of thought it was an April Fool's joke at first, but they've announced a new Jak and Daxter game for the PS2 and PSP called The Lost Frontier.
Yeah.
And the reason I thought it was a joke is because the screenshots, I mean, maybe it's still really early, but they didn't look all that great, and Jak looks weird. He's like all grown up and stuff.
Well, I mean, he's been that way for the last couple of Jak and Daxter games. I mean, that's why...
The last one I played really was 3.
Yeah, I didn't even play the second one. I played the first one and I loved it. And then for the second one, they tried to go all dark and gritty with it, and I just kind of lost interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Jak and Daxter trilogy very much did the same thing as like the Prince of Persia, Sands of Time.
Yeah, it was the same thing.
It's literally the exact same thing.
Yeah, it started with something that was really interesting. It had a great style to it, and. And you know, and I kind of like the atmosphere that it created. It was, you know, everything was vibrant, and there was, it just created like a very positive feeling. And then they decided, oh, well, that's not badass enough.
Yeah, like it's just that arbitrary thing. Like all of a sudden it gets dark, and like you know, Jak was always silent in the first game. He starts talking, which that's not such a big deal. But then like it's literally he's got like the dark side in him or whatever.
Yeah, it's nah.
But, like, the gameplay's always been solid, so, you know, if this is good, that'd be nice. It'd be good to have that on the PSP, I think.
That'd be pretty cool to carry around, for sure.
Alright, so, if you have a PS3, I know you're excited, because this week, Sony unleashed Firmware 2.7, which includes...
Holy shit!
16-player, in-game, text chat. What's that sound supposed to be?
Crickets?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sorry, I can't do that weird little whistle thingy that some people can do.
I understand. Okay, that was actually pretty good. What the fuck? Who wants 16-player in-game text chat? Why is that what they're working on?
Because they're creating the system of the future, and the future's going to be whatever they say it's going to be, goddammit.
Like, did you guys see the Penny Arcade today?
Yes.
Today's?
It's like the perfect summation of like what I thought about that. Like, what the hell? Why is that what they're spending time on? I don't get it.
You're just whipping Sony. You know,
Mike, are you gonna?
I think we're just you know getting a little carried. I mean, I know I love to make fun of Sony, but just anyone. But I mean, you know, let's just let the stupid thing slide now. I mean, we have to point out every dumb thing they do these days.
It's fun.
It's like Nintendo from the GameCube era.
Ooh, that was good. We'll leave it on that.
Yeah.
All right, so if you were sad that Filefront was getting closed by Ziff Davis, rejoice, for it has been saved by the original founders, whoever they are.
But yeah, so I guess it's going to continue.
Is there a Warcraft music video still on there somewhere?
Yeah.
I tried finding it.
No, I put it on File Planet, not File... You're thinking File Planet. This is File Front.
Is File Planet still around?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. No, there's still part of the Game Spy network, which is about as fucking relevant as...
Game Spy. I'm always shocked that Game Spy's still around.
Yeah.
I miss when Game Spy was cool.
But they were great back in the days of the Daily Victim. And all those, all those, like, you know,
there was that,
ridiculous
who's the running character in those, Crenshaw?
Yeah.
Everyone's always yelling at Crenshaw. I miss those.
Back before we had all these blog sites for news, they were one of the better places to go to for just news also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So move on, Ajka.
Okay. So, does a new Silent Hill on the Wii excite you?
No.
I'm happy.
You don't even like Silent Hill. What do you mean you're happy? Well, the only Silent Hill you played was 2 and you didn't like it, and that's supposed to be the best one.
This appeals to me, and let me go through the feature.
Oh, God.
It's Silent Hill Shattered Memories. So, you know, you move the control stick, use the Wii remote to aim a flashlight. You look at something, he'll vocally respond. There's no load times. The Wiimote acts as a cell phone, which I think is cool. And this is what I think is what makes it interesting to me. There's no combat. You can only flee. Which I think will be really cool if it, like, you know, works.
How do you fight bosses?
There aren't bosses.
I thought this was a remake of the first Silent Hill.
No, it's a new game. I think. Maybe it is.
I thought it was just a remake.
That's kind of odd. Although, one thing I will say. This shit with the subtitles, I'm sorry. Shattered memories? What the fuck is a shattered memory? You can't shatter a memory. It doesn't exist. It's an abstract concept. You can't shatter something that doesn't have physical form. Fuck you guys.
Man, you're going to like some of my subtitles for Final Fantasy later.
Oh my God. I am going to stab somebody in the eyes.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because we're on the internet.
Oh, jeez. That's incriminating.
The way that bothers me, though, wasn't there something else that was shattered memories? That sounds familiar.
Sure, chain of memories.
Yeah, there was chain of memories. It was Contra Shattered Soldier. I don't know what's with the word shattered. Is it like it's a badass sounding word? Ooh, we're to shatter something. Well, what are we gonna shatter? I don't know what sounds really big and epic. Shattered hubris? Fucking shattered like. Oh, jeez, I'm killing Edge Guy over here.
Wasn't there something shattered dreams? Can dreams be shattered if memories can? As long as we're shattering intangible objects.
Well, if so, then why not?
Jesus.
I choose to shatter...
Shattered ambition!
Shattered hopes. Shattered fears. Okay, Ajay, go ahead.
Okay. Let's see.
Shattered nightmares.
Shattered unicorns!
What? That's just stupid. Yeah, unicorns don't shatter.
Real.
Yeah, those are real things.
What fucking... Never mind. Onward.
What's wrong? Okay, go ahead. Let's go. Go! Okay, hurry up, Edge Guy!
Help! The sniper class is next to get an update in Team Fortress 2.
We forgot their April Fool joke, yeah. The piss thing.
It was going to be, the jar of urine was going to be his first unlockable weapon.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, that's not the case, but he is the next one to get an update. We just don't know anything about it yet.
Will he get a different sniper rifle?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe he'll get, a rapid-fire sniper rifle that doesn't do as much damage.
Yeah, that's actually what I was thinking.
Maybe if you spend too much time camping in one spot as the sniper, his dad will call him on his cell phone.
That'd be awesome.
Emitting a shrill sound, emitting that fucking irritating Nokia ringtone that everybody hates and alerting anyone within 500 feet to his presence.
No.
Oh, hey, guys, Sword Guy just told me on Twitter that the new Silent Hill is, in fact, a remake. Thanks.
Whoa.
Oh, there you go.
That's some Web 2.0 shit right there.
This Ustream channel is paying off.
There you go. Because he can hear you, I guess?
What?
Can he hear you on that?
He just hears me.
Oh. Fuck you, Sword Guy. Oh, crap, he's going to hear that eventually.
Yeah, he's going to hear the podcast, dipshit.
Well, maybe not if he's already listening to it.
He's just hearing a third of it.
Oh, now he's going to listen.
All right. Let's move on. If you downloaded The Pit on the 360, go download
it again,
apparently. 360, I said.
360.
You wish.
The Sexbox 360.
I got it to a...
Double the sexiness.
I got to a pretty heated debate with a five-year-old today over whether Sonic was a Pokemon or not.
What the... Dude, fucking...
We went back and Jesus. Forth. I was like, listen here, kid. I've been playing Sonic games for 20 years. I know he's not a Pokemon.
I played like, Sonic before he sucked.
Yeah.
He was like, my mom said that he's a Pokemon. I'm like, well, your mom's wrong.
Your mom is wrong about everything and she doesn't love you.
So, and of course, as with all arguments with, you know, young children, I had to just eventually agree with him. Much to my shame, say that Sonic the Hedgehog was a Pokemon.
That is always how it plays out. I love it.
I had fun with him, though. I'll talk about that later. Go ahead.
Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, if you downloaded the pit, delete it and re-download it. They fixed it again.
Okay, that's
anyway,
good.
Moving on. So if you own the game Lips, you have its very nice wireless mics on the 360, you'd be surprised to know that it actually works with Guitar Hero Metallica, like right now, out of the box. This is after Activision said that they have absolutely no plans to make it work with Guitar Hero World Tour, so
I don't know.
Microsoft also confirmed that the Rock Band 2 patch for the Lips mic will be coming sometime this summer, so, you know.
You know, something about Activision strikes me that there's this kind of internal disconnect between their, like, marketing and business people and their actual developers. Because, yeah. You know, I can definitely see this, you know, scenario happening internally where, you know, somebody in marketing or PR or somebody in like a kind of a, you know, high ranking business related position is going to say, oh no, we're not going to support this peripheral because something, something, making up some justification. And, you know, I mean, really, it comes down to probably like one or two guys just writing the code to do it in about 2 days. And one guy's just like, ah, fuck it. Let's throw it in there anyway.
Right.
You know, what are they going to do? Be like, no, take it out? Like, that's already in the game. Fucking let it ride.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Depending on which intro I decided to use, we may have talked about this already, but Bioshock 2 is just Bioshock 2. There is no Sea of Dreams. Apparently what happened
There's
is that
no
the
sea
trailer...
of dreams, no.
Nope.
Where do my dreams shattered. Go?
They are shattered.
Oh, that's the name of the episode.
Shattered sea of Shattered dreams.
No, Shattered Sea go. Of Dreams.
Okay.
There you
good.
Go.
Easy. But yeah, I guess the confusion is that the first trailer, like, that was the name of the trailer, was Sea of Dreams. And I don't know why it took so long for this to get cleared up, but it's been cleared up. That's it.
Oh, please. That was definitely potentially going to be a subtitle.
They thought about it after the response it got or whatever. I don't know.
What response? People were saying, hey, did you see that? Bioshock 2 is going to be called Sea of Change or Dreams or whatever.
You don't even know what it's called.
No, I don't. I keep thinking it's Sea of Change.
All right, last story I got is with Brutal Legend finally coming, apparently they're shopping out a Wii port to another developer. We don't know who, but it's coming.
Makes sense financially.
Yeah, I can see that, although
I won't buy it, but
I mean, I imagine that I mean at least the what looks like the kind of humor and the kind of aesthetic they're going for is this kind of like hilarious, over the top, ultra violent metal parody. I don't know if that's gonna fly on the Wii. Which, you know,
it'll have its buyers, but
yeah,
most of the people who want this game have a 360 or a PS3.
Most likely, yes.
Alright, that's the news I got.
Sweet.
So George.
Yeah.
Why don't you give us your GDC impressions?
Oh, jeez. Okay, well, last week you guys were talking about On Live, and I did get a chance to play it on the show floor.
Detail.
That was pretty interesting, actually, because that was kind of the big announcement the morning of. So, you know, I got to the expo floor, and I headed straight for the On Live booth, because I figured, okay, this thing, I mean, you know, this is probably vaporware. I want to see how close they are to actually realizing how deep in they are. So, you know, I went over and they had a couple of kiosks set up. Some of them had that little micro console dealie, which is, you know, about maybe 6 inches by 3 inches. And some of them just had really small laptops running the client as a browser plugin, oddly enough. It's actually like, it's, you know, you can get it as a plugin for Firefox and just go to their website and play games that way. And so, you know, I walked over to the kiosk and I picked up a 360 controller. They had a copy of Mirror's Edge running and I was playing the game and it was, you know, it was perfectly playable. It ran just fine. And so one of the guys from the company came over, asked me what I thought of it, and I said, you know, it seems really impressive, and, you know, I mean, this is, I imagine this is just kind of like a proof of concept thing, like you've got the machine that's running the game is under the kiosk, and it's just piping up, and the guy goes, no, that's actually running at a data center about 50 miles away. And I was pretty impressed. The only, you know, I mean, the only frame drops that the game was getting were pretty much the same frame drops you would get if you were running it on your machine, like, just locally. Like, you know, some frame drops when you go from one area to another, which may just be the machine at the other end stuttering rather than a bandwidth thing. But, you know, the fact remains that was their booth at GDC that had, like, 8 machines in it, and I don't know if that's going to scale up to several thousand.
Right.
So that's completely unproven, and I really have no idea how they're going to handle it. I would say, even money, that shit's going to choke day one.
Oh, totally. Like, when that beta launches in the summer, like, it's going to be like a week after the launch
of the
beta
before
you can even probably start it.
It's going to be like the release of Half-Life 2. It's going to be like that. When Steam choked for like a week and nobody could authenticate or play the game, it's probably going to be the same thing. If it manages to survive that long, I imagine they'll iron out the kinks, but I can't see any possibility that they'll make a good first impression. And that could make or break them.
But then, yeah, but like you said, using the Steam analogy, I mean, everyone, like, the first year of Steam, everyone's like, ah, this is stupid, I don't know why they're bothering, it's never going to work. Look at Steam now.
Yeah.
It's like the de facto digital distribution system
on the
PC.
Yes, that's true. Although, I will say that OnLive looks like it's going to have a much, much larger overhead than Steam.
Right.
So there, I mean, you know, Valve kind of had the luxury of being able to spend a year ironing out the kinks with the existing members that they had. I don't think OnLive is going to have the same margin of error.
Plus, people tolerated Steam because they wanted to play Half-Life 2.
Right. And in this case, you know, if you can't play something on Live, then you'll just play it locally instead.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. It depends on how much of a market there is for people who want to play these really, really awesome, really high-end PC titles that haven't already invested in a powerful rig.
Well, I mean, like, I know there's a lot of games in the PC I'd play, but I really can't, like, drop $400 on a video card. Plus, it's probably about time I get a new processor and really just a whole new computer.
Right.
So if I can pay a $50 a year fee rather than, you know, $1,000 for a new PC, I'm fine with that if it works.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I went over there expecting to see Total Vaporware, and I did actually see a pretty convincing proof of concept. So I'm kind of on the fence right now, but, you know, I really don't know how well that's going to scale.
That's good, because you're on the fence. I'm totally skeptical, and Asguy seems to be all gung-ho about it.
Yeah.
So we got all
nice.
Three sides here.
This is an excellent excellent cage match we've got going here.
Yes.
I like the way this is progressing.
I'm just at a point where I'm just almost sick of hearing about OnLive and its promises of video gaming utopia.
Yeah, I've been kind of insulating myself from a lot of industry news
I don't like hearing you talk about it, Reg.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, you know, I can make anything interesting, so.
But what else did you see at JDC? At GDC?
At JDC. The
James Developers Conference.
James Developers Conference, of course.
But what else?
Man, like, that would be an awkward set of name tags. the experimental gameplay session, actually, where that you were mentioning, where they're talking about features that were removed from Flower. There were a couple of other games that were shown that were also just pretty mind blowing. One game was a 3D platformer where the only the only graphics were the shadows of the objects in the world, but you couldn't see the actual objects. So you had to judge your positioning in space from shadows that were falling on a cube, so you could kind of judge it. It was a little strange. It's not as easy to describe as it is to actually see it in action. There was another game which was it was a complete mindfuck. It kind of took a similar concept and ran with it, where the guy who was showing the game, he had to demonstrate the game by analogy first before he could show the actual game, where what he did was he had a three-dimensional environment, and he was showing the environment as a series of two-dimensional slices to show how you could get this two-dimensional gameplay in a 3D environment and then twist it around. Kind of almost like Crush on the PSP.
Uh-huh.
But that was just his analogy. The actual game is moving that up an order of magnitude, where the game itself is actually played in a three-dimensional shadow of a four-dimensional playfield.
What?
And he made a point of specifying that the fourth dimension was not time. There are actually four spatial dimensions, and you are playing in a 3D shadow of the four-dimensional world. And so if you flip around to look at this four-dimensional space from a different angle, the three-dimensional shadow, like, shifts around, and it looks like magic, but if you look at it long enough, you can actually see how all these things are connected, and it was completely batshit. It was pretty crazy. My head was hurting just looking at it. I'm sure there are videos online you'd be able to see. And then another one.
What was this called?
I don't remember what the name of the concept was, but I can send you a link probably later.
Yeah.
And then the last one, I think the game was called Akron.
Akron.
And not Akron, Ohio. Akron.
Hey, you knew what we were talking about.
Akron. Yeah. I'm a geographical savant. No, not really. And this was an RTS that incorporates time travel. But not like time travel in the sense that, like, you know, you control the manipulation of time and it slows things down for everybody else. It's that the game literally makes a timeline of everything that you've done, and then if you want, you can go back in time and undo shit that you did. So there was, like, they were showing an example match where these two guys were, you know, they were escalating a war, and one guy was, like, really, really, I mean, he was losing pretty soundly. And so what he did was, with his last remaining base, he researched nuclear weapons and sent a nuke back in time to nuke his opponent before he built up his enormous army. But then his opponent, from back in time, sent some troops from back in time forward to some of the... And it was... I mean, it got to the point where it became really difficult to keep track of it. The game itself, like, actually, like, resolves all the paradoxes and all this shit in a pretty clever way. But then what he ended up doing was sending another army even further back in time, moving his own army to the future so that in the past it wasn't there, and so the guy who sent the nuke back in time nuked himself because it was the only remaining target. And, like, I'm watching this, and I'm just like... there are videos of this on YouTube, and you can check it out. And I'm watching this thing, and, like, people are literally just, like... just, like, applauding and laughing and, like, falling out of their chairs because this is, like, holy shit. Like, how did these guys pull this off? How did we think that this was never going to work? And now these guys made it look so easy. Holy shit.
Huh.
It was some pretty incredible stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. And then...
I just, like, all three of those, like, I can't even picture how these would work in my head.
Yeah,
shouldn't the strategy just be to go and bomb, like, the person's town back when it was just, like, two settlers in the town hall?
Well, you can only go back so far.
Okay.
There are mechanics that kind of limit how far back you can go, and then depending on how far back you've gone, each order that you issue to a unit will use up a certain amount of this kind of finite bar that you have, at which point you get kicked back to the present and have to wait for the bar to refill. It's a pretty clever game, and right now it looks really crude. I mean, it's a super rough prototype, but it was actually playable, and I saw these guys fucking, like, doing this Back to the Future shit, like, going, like, all over the timeline, and suddenly fighting across time in addition to across this open terrain, and it was pretty inspiring.
Huh.
So yeah, that was cool. Most of the stuff that was being shown on the expo floor was things that have been seen before. A lot of the games from the IGF were really impressive. I mean, you know, they're always impressive. I mean, it's always like you're watching these, you know, like two or three guys are putting something together in, you know, in like somebody's basement, and it's doing things that AAA studios would never dream of even attempting. And so it's always great to watch that. I believe if you go to TIGSource.com, they have a video of the entire Indie Games Festival Awards, and it's definitely worth watching that just to see the material that these guys are putting out. It's pretty awesome.
Great. All right. Anything else you want to get out there? Shall we move on?
Well, I mean, I've got a couple of iPhone games that I want to plug, but that can wait for a little bit later.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do that for what we've been playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we in gaming as a guy?
Yeah.
Oh,
so so speaking of time travel, is it time to go back to 1992?
93.
Three.
But yes, it is. So
I'm going to now go back in time and correct what I just said.
Okay. Why don't we get going here?
All right.
So, 1993. Here's what we got, okay? Starting with the Breath of Fire, which was that Capcom RPG that people always told me to try, but I never have. Sword Guy and Nick North wanted me to bring that up. This is just for me and Edge Guy, but Cool Spot came out. Remember that, Edge Guy?
Word!
That I remember Cool Spot.
That was a good game for freaking giant product placement.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't too bad.
Not too bad. You were Spot, and you shot, like, sparks out of your hand.
Street quarter isometric, man.
Yeah.
It was, like, almost 3D.
Yep.
Wait. The isometric one was the bad one. That was, like, Spot Goes to Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, there was two of them.
Cool Spot was the side-scroller.
No, the one you're talking about is the terrible one.
I liked it.
Oh, okay. Aladdin also came out.
Oh, God, that's such a good game.
Yeah. Aladdin was fucking awesome.
No, the Genesis one, not the SNES one.
Well, I'm assuming they both came out. Right.
The Genesis one was, of course, awesome.
Right. Doom came out. Of course, important. Beige and Nick wanted me to bring that up.
Yes. Yep. Doom was a big one.
Gabriel Knight, Sins of the Fathers. Beige and Angry Jedi wanted me to bring that up. Might be our next squad mission. I haven't played it, so I can't say how good it is, but I mean, I've just been hearing nonstop, especially from Beige, about how amazing this game is.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm gonna give it a shot.
I think it'll be worth going back to.
And Tim Curry is the voice of Gabriel Knight.
Oh, yes. There you go.
Joined by Mark Hamill, Michael Dorn, and Leah Remini from King of Queens? What the fuck?
Oh, Michael Dorn, nice.
There you go. Yeah, right.
Gunstar Heroes, Sword Guy wanted me to bring that up, which was kind of like that Contra game.
Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kirby's Adventure came out, which was a fun Kirby game, but it was notable for, first of all, it was one of the last NES games, especially by Nintendo, but it also was actually the first Kirby game where Kirby could copy his enemy's abilities. How about that?
Yeah, it's weird to think that there was a Kirby game where he couldn't do that.
Yeah, such a staple, but this was the first one. Legend of Zelda, Link's Awakening came out. Sword Guy, Zaki, and Tom wanted me to bring that up.
Yep.
Great game.
I played a lot of Link's Awakening back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Link's Awakening was really notable because they kind of did a lot of like Game Boy sequels to games, but Link's Awakening was just as good as like even the Super Nintendo Zelda game.
Oh yeah, that's what was so great about that game. It was probably the first time you got like what I would say is a console experience on a portable.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Day of the Tentacle came out. Beige, Sword Guy, and Nick wanted me to bring that up.
Great game. That's what got us into adventure gaming in the first place.
This was our first adventure game, so big deal for us. I mean, that game, time travel, and a hilarious game.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites. It's kind of a quintessential scum game, because it was one of the last ones to have that sort of standard verb interface, you know?
Yeah,
Use, talk to, that kind of thing, which we sort of miss these days. Ever since that, because they started using more of the icons, even with Sam and Max Hit the Road, which also came out this year. Nick wanted me to bring that up, which just started using more icons and stuff.
Yeah.
And Sam and Max at the Road is notable for probably being, I would say, maybe it's probably the straight-up funniest adventure game I've played.
Yes.
Yeah. Mega Man X came out.
Sword Guy. I love that game.
Oh, yeah, there
Sword Guy
go.
Wanted me to bring that up. Sword Guy. But
yeah, I've got the. Yeah, I have the soundtrack to Mega Man X.
I don't know how incriminating that is,
but yeah.
I want a copy of it.
I will tell you something though. The soundtrack to Mega Man X, I think, qualifies as a weapon of mass destruction because any single one of those songs will get stuck in your head for fucking weeks. You'd be walking around, all you can hear is. And you just, it just completely crowds out all rational thought, and then you wake up in the hospital with, you know, people standing over you going, dude, what happened? Or maybe that's just me.
People were just waiting for the 16-bit Mega Man game for so long. So happy to finally get it at that point.
It delivered.
Well, even Capcom was impatient. They skipped right over 9. They're like, fuck it, let's make 10.
This is not Mega Man 10. I'm sick of saying that.
Well, okay, but it's an X. It looks like a Roman numeral 10, and you can't say that wasn't...
The character's name is X.
Yes, but you can't say that that didn't cross their minds.
No, I bet it didn't. I think they just thought X, as in, come on, a lot of things just add X to the end of them and make them, I don't know, cool. I mean, like, F-Zero X. That's something, right?
Okay, yeah, I guess, I don't know, what is it, like a Capcom Nintendo thing? No, that's a Japan thing. They just add X to everything.
Right,
The
letter X and the letter G, they like to add that to everything. They just have this obsession with English letters.
What does G even mean?
I'm sure it means something in Japanese.
Is it Gaiden? What's Gaiden mean?
I don't know.
Okay.
Side story.
Mortal Kombat 2 came out. Some people consider that the Mortal Kombats. It had Smoke in it for the first time as a secret character, which is cool, because Smoke is awesome.
Very true.
I don't know why, but he is. Myst came out. A lot of people
including Bane.
Awesome.
Yes. And I am going to stand by that for my pick of Game of the Year, because it's fucking Myst, dude.
So I'm going to have to, if I really don't want Myst to be Game of the Year, I have to combat you guys over it.
Oh, yeah. No,
that is probably true.
That's right. You will have to fight outnumbered.
Because here's the thing. I mean, you may argue that maybe of all the games you're going to list, Myst is not the greatest. But for its time, like, Myst is the reason that CD-ROM drives caught on. Like, that was the killer app. Everyone had to get a CD drive so they can play this game with these quote-unquote photorealistic visuals. And I guarantee you, of all the millions of people who played Myst, like, less than 10% of those people beat it. And probably less than 50% of them even got off the Myst Island for the first time.
Yep.
Yeah, probably
but
less.
Everyone played Myst back then and thought it was, like, the greatest thing ever.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, the thing that made the biggest difference for me was that Myst was the first commercially successful game that kind of placed all of its success on creating an atmosphere and creating an experience rather than like a mechanical challenge or being like a game that you played to beat. It was fun.
Oh, dude, yeah, don't tell me it wasn't fun.
Don't give me that.
Blast.
Don't give me that shit. That's like saying that fucking, you know, visiting the Grand Canyon isn't fun. It most definitely is. It's just that, you know, there had been games before that, some even that Cyan had made, like Cosmic Osmo and The Manhole, that were kind of based on this, you know, having an experience creating an atmosphere more than playing a game. But Myst was the first one that actually hit it big. And I think, you know, there are a lot of games that, you know, that are out now that wouldn't exist if Myst had never been made. And even the games that exist now would be completely different if Myst had never been made. I mean, even think about, like, I mean, think about Gears of War. The fact that, I mean, okay, yeah, it's fucking Gears. We know this. But they, you know, Epic had this whole grand vision of creating this atmosphere of destroyed beauty. And that was, like, a really big thing for them. And they did execute it very well, but I mean, if Myst had never been successful, they wouldn't have even given a shit about that even now. they wouldn't have bothered to try to create this atmosphere because it wouldn't have been part of what video games are. And so I think Myst added that to the lexicon.
Yes.
I feel like I got the two biggest Squadron Myst fanboys at the worst possible year.
Oh, whatever. Okay, it's also kind of difficult to put that up against Doom. I mean, having as much influence as that did.
Yeah, but then, like, I mean, you could say Doom is really just a refinement of Wolfenstein.
That's true. It wasn't quite as revolutionary as Wolfenstein.
I'm sure, like you said, Myst is a refinement of other games too, but like Doom, it was just a far more popular kind of version of it. Even Wolfenstein probably isn't the first first-person shooter.
No, it's not.
No, it was one of the first successful ones, though.
Yeah.
Well, let me finish the list here, guys. I know you kind of sounds like you made up your minds, but
Sorry, we jumped on you there.
I know. That's all right. All right. Listen, we got NBA Jam came out. Zach wanted me to bring that up.
Oh hell's yeah!
Come on, NBA Jam.
Slam dunking as Bill Clinton breaking the backboard. Good times.
Oh yeah.
Fantasy Star 4 came out. Sore guy wanted me to bring that up. Well, I'm kind of considered the best Fantasy Star by most people. Rocket Knight Adventures. Sword Guy wanted me to bring that up, which gets him a high five, because that game is awesome. Get that on the Virtual Console now. And no, I don't mean that it's out on the Virtual Console and that you should get it. I mean, I want someone to put it on there.
Yeah.
Because last time I said get the Simpsons arcade game on the Virtual Console or on Xbox Live, and everyone was like, oh, it's out? Okay. So Rocket Knight Adventure was sweet. All right, Secret of Mana came out. Sword Guy also wanted me to bring that up. Still haven't played that yet. Came out on Virtual Console. I need to give it a shot.
Secret of Mana, like, regardless of what you might think of the game as it is, probably has one of the best soundtracks of any 16-bit game. Mm-hmm. It just sounds... I mean, never mind the quality of the compositions. They actually... just the sound programming is very, very impressive, and it sounds better than a 16-bit game.
SimCity 2000 came out. Zach and Nick wanted me to bring that up.
Woo!
All right. Okay, guys, how about this? Come on. Here's pretty much my big opponent for Myst.
Okay.
Sonic the Hedgehog CD.
Ooh. Sonic CD. Ooh, that was a very good game.
The best Sonic game, probably the...
And it had the super peel out.
Yes.
I love the super peel out.
Super peel out, the fucking time travel, all that. Dude, I have a fucking DOS copy of Sonic CD around here somewhere.
I got a Win95 copy too.
Oh yeah, it's the Win95 one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's right up there with Crimson Skies and games I wish I could play but can't.
Ah.
Right. Well, you get that
one. I mean, it's
collection?
Not 3D. You could probably virtual machine that up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but
maybe.
Okay, but anyways, to finish things off, we got also Star Fox came out.
Star Fox.
Invasion Zach wanted me to bring that up.
I love Star Fox.
The problem with Star Fox is that Star Fox 64 is basically just a remake of Star Fox and better.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Dude, I still play Star Fox 64.
I do too. I have it on the Virtual Console.
Yeah, it's actually on the first page of my Wii. It's like right up top, and I'm like, oh man, Star Fox! Nice. I know I was going to play Super Mario Galaxy, but fuck it!
Alright, so Sword Guy wanted me to bring up some other games. He mentioned this was kind of the year where we had all the Sonic knockoffs. Like Awesome Possum, Bubsy.
Oh, Bubsy the Bobcat Bubsy. And Claw's Encounters of the Furred Kind. That was, I think that set the record for most puns in a single video game title.
It's definitely up there.
Oh,
it's
sad how
Bubsy's a great example how one bad game could just end your franchise. Bubsy 3D, man.
Well, or the first one.
Yeah, well
Bubsy 1 was at least in music. It at least had fans.
You could, yeah. It was actually really funny. Around the time that came out, I had a friend who, because at the time, like in 93, I only had a Mac, which is why I played so much Myst, why I played so much, why I played so much Marathon and so much Spectre VR and all these other weird Mac only games. And one of my friends had a Genesis, and so I'd be at his house and we'd be playing a bunch. And he was always a really sore loser, and he would get really mad whenever he lost. And for some reason, playing Bubsy actually made it a lot easier on him because he had all these really silly animations when he died, which were funny enough that he didn't get mad. And I was like, oh, that's really awesome! They must have done that on purpose! And, of course they didn't because they were just being silly, but... Right. That was my memory of Bubsy.
And then we also Ariel the Acrobat kind of came
out. That was actually a kind of a cool game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
maybe. Shadowrun for the SNES. He says Mega Man 5 came out for the Game Boy, although my research says it was Mega Man 4, but whatever. DuckTales 2 came out for the NES, which isn't as... I kind of didn't realize there was a sequel to DuckTales on the NES, but there it is.
Probably
got looked over, as a lot of NES games did during that time, because people were just kind of... They've moved on. I mean, at this point, the Sega CD was out, so... Rock and Roll Racing and Rondo of Blood. Rondo of Blood's a Castlevania game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Simmy's also wanted me to bring up some... games I had never heard of. Yeah,
oh, well, there was the Amiga CD32.
Well, yeah, the Amiga CD32 was released in UK, and Hired Guns, The Chaos Engine, and Syndicate, he wanted me to bring up, and he linked me some nice Wikipedia pages for them. They were interesting looking. Then Dick also wanted me to bring up Dino Park Tycoon, and Tom Haley wanted me to bring up Masters of Orion.
Yes, I was actually just going to mention Master of Orion. That was a big one.
That is a big deal.
Oh, and actually, you know, one other... You know, I'm not sure if it counts, but Virtua Fighter was released in the arcades.
That kind of counts.
Ooh, that definitely counts.
The original Virtua Fighter, before it hit any consoles. I think that took, like, another year or two, I think, until... did they release that for the 32X, or did they just go straight to the Saturn?
No, they did, like, Virtua Fighter 2 in a 32X, but it was, like, sprite-based.
Right, okay, yeah, they had that, like, shitty approximation of what
No. There was a Genesis Virtua Fighter 2, but there was
Yeah, there was, wasn't there? Yeah.
For 32X, that actually was.
Was it?
Yeah. Huh. I don't think it worked all that good, but...
Right. Virtua Racing on the 32X was decent. When did that come out in the arcade?
Probably
the year after, maybe 94, I'm not sure.
There's a good game, Virtua Racing.
Virtua Racing was quite good, actually.
I liked Virtua Cop the best of all the
games. Virtua Racing came out in 92,
oh,
missed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Whatever. Was it really... What, AJ, do you want to make it Game of the Year?
No, but remember that really awesome arcade cabinet they had for it at the Contemporary at Disney World? That, like, with, like, the pressure side things and all that?
Mm-hmm. All right, so can I tempt you guys away from Miss Swift Sonic the Hedgehog CD?
No.
Sonic the Hedgehog CD was very good, but yeah. I think Myst kind of takes the cake for the amount of influence that it had.
Right. It's not like the Sonic CD sold the Sega CD. I mean, it probably did sell the Sega CD, but not well enough. Yeah, but Myst sold the CD-ROM format. And I think for a game to, like, single game to sell an entire format, which until recently was still in, like, the primary format for a lot of games coming out on the PC, I think that's a big deal.
All right. Yeah. All right, I'll give it to you guys. It's Miss then.
Yay!
All right.
Miss, you remember this, though.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
This is going to come back to haunt me.
Yeah, I'll pick something. Kingdom Hearts 1, Game of the Year, 2000, whenever that came out, too, let's say. All right, okay. So, we have the... Ashgar actually wrote down the rundown for me this time.
Yeah.
So oh, jeez, I almost forgot. Like, I almost forgot. One more. This is greatly historically significant. It's not a game release, but 1993 was the year that Crow Team was founded, and that just wins at everything because they made Serious Sam. Anybody who's associated with Serious Sam wins at life and the universe. The formation of Crow Team is the game of the year.
You know what? Miss is sounding better now.
Well, you see, that was all part of my reverse psychology plan, and well I'm glad that you agree with us now.
Okay.
All right,
listen. 1986, we picked Zelda. 87, it was Metal Gear. 88 was Mega Man 2. 89 is SimCity. 90 is Super Mario World. 91 is Street Fighter 2. 92 is Star Control 2. And 93 was Myst. We got a lot of 2 games in here. We got Mega Man 2, Street Fighter 2, and Star Control 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Plenty of series that took a little while to pick up some momentum in the first installment, but then really hit their stride with the second.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
I think so far from this list, Mega Man 2 might be my favorite. Or Super Mario World.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, so that was fun. Let's hit the quiz.
Oh, man.
Oh, sweet.
All right. Great American Ad Guy Game Quiz. All right, you missed, fanboys. You should get this one.
Yay.
Name the sons of Atreus from Myst. What's his
name? I knew it was going to be a question.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
Okay. I knew you were going to ask that, too. Yes.
Okay, fine.
Oh, but now, do you remember the name of Atreus' wife?
Oh, Catherine.
Oh.
And their youngest daughter, Yisha.
Oh, man. Oh, man. This guy's
what
got
now?
It.
What now?
This guy's all up in this piece. And Atreus' father's name?
Dude, I knew you were going to ask you that. I was just trying to think of it.
I was Gen! It was Gen!
Gen!
Yes!
Motherfucker. Dude, I used to know the Dani alphabet at the time of Myst 3. Like, I knew it.
Well, I remember when Riven came out, I got totally stumped about halfway through. It was the only game that I ever bought a strategy guide for, and I could count to like 100 in Dani. I was such a nerd! Oh my God.
Amazing. If you guys keep talking about Myst, I'm going to take away the point.
Oh no.
Oh Jesus.
Okay. Question number two. Sonic CD was developed around the same time as what other Sonic game?
Oh, I bet it's a trick. Like, I bet it's like Knuckle Chaotix.
I have... Oh, jeez. That's a tricky
one. Did you hear that or Sonic 3?
I don't know. I am inclined to take a stab at Sonic and Knuckles, but I don't know.
Actually, you might be right. Let's go with that. Let's say Sonic and Knuckles.
Sonic 2.
Really?
Sonic 2? Yep.
The original
my
Sonic team
screwed up.
Original kind of Sonic team. Sort of a large part of them went to America to work on Sonic 2, and a large part of them worked on Sonic CD.
Sonic CD was developed at the same time as the second Sonic
game?
My chronology is totally fucked now.
Well, I had to say around the same time, because a lot of people think Sonic CD was actually made first, because Sonic CD doesn't have Tails, it's back to the three-zone structure in every act. There's just, when you think of, and, you get to the bonus stage at the end of the level, not in the middle of it like you can in the other Sonic games. Sonic CD has a lot more comic with Sonic, a lot more in common with Sonic 1 than Sonic 2 when you think about it.
You know, I never thought of it like that. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Go figure.
So, take that.
I'll tell you how good my memory is.
What do you know? The best Sonic game ever was before they started introducing shitty sidekicks.
Well, Sonic CD did introduce Amy, though, which...
Yeah, we have to knock them for that. She's like barely in it. They just needed someone to save.
Yeah. Okay. Question number three. What star system does Star Fox take place in?
Oh, I know this one.
Oh, wait. Now it's on the tip of my tongue. All right, what do you got, George?
It's Lylat.
Lylat. I knew something.
You know, the name for Star Fox in Europe was actually Lylat Wars, because there was an IT company that held the trademark for the word Star Fox.
That's right, actually, yeah.
All right, cool.
All right, question number four. Who created Zero for Mega Man X?
That would be Dr. Wily.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Number five. Okay, this is kind of a long question, but bear with me. Like in most Zelda games, Link has to go to several dungeons in order to find certain items that he needs in Link's Awakening. For example, in the first Zelda, there were pieces of the Triforce that he had to collect. What did he collect in Link's Awakening? There were eight of them. So basically,
weren't they instruments? I'm talking to George. Like, wasn't he getting like instruments to wake the owl?
They were musical instruments
I don't know if they had a specific.
It was to awaken the. Oh God! What was in the egg?
Shit, it's been
so long since I played it. Yeah, the owl.
I know. Yeah, okay. Well, did they have a name?
They were just
instruments.
I don't
remember what they were called.
I'm looking for
instruments. Yeah,
he's giving it to us.
He's trying to wake up an egg, not the owl. Was that guy who helped you?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, if you get this bonus question, you actually win, AJ.
Oh my God.
Okay. This isn't a terribly hard bonus question either.
Oh man, I'm nervous.
What game was released first? Kirby's Dream Land 2, Kirby's Adventure, or Kirby Superstar?
Okay, Kirby's Adventure is the NES one, right?
Yes.
It has to be Kirby.
Yep.
I'm talking to George. It has to be Kirby's Adventure, because I know that's the one that introduced the power copy ability, and that was the first one, and all the other ones have that. So, Kirby's Adventure?
Yes, you actually won the quiz.
All right!
All right.
What do I get?
What?
What do I get? It's been so long since I won one of these.
The next time I want to mock you, or just be generally mean to you, I'll try to restrain myself.
Yay!
You get to come to WrestleMania for free.
What, you're charging?
No,
oh, that's heartwarming.
Okay, that was fun.
All right, that was fun.
Good times. All right, everyone. I want to start off the our weekend gaming thing here.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. Because first off, I played Resident Evil 5 co-op with Beige yesterday. We went through the whole first act.
So curious, it's like you were kind of like on the game. So is your opinion of it greater now that you've played it co-op?
Well, yeah, playing co-op it's definitely more fun. Because you get that whole mystery theater aspect to all the terrible cutscenes now, where you just make fun of them with them.
Right.
Like we joke, there's the stupid Sheva question drinking game. Every time Sheva asks a stupid question, you take a shot.
Oh my god, I love that.
You don't drink.
Dude, yeah, how did you even...
It's in theory, ads, guy.
...finish the, how did you even finish, like, the first 15 minutes of the game?
No, this was only a game in theory, unfortunately.
I see.
Right. But, I mean, no, I mean, it's fun, because, you know, I'm like, you take the shotgun, I'll have the rifle, and, you know, I'll take guys far away, you take them close, and... You know, like, stay by me. You know, it's fun. You know, you actually have to communicate and work with each other. I was kind of surprised that I got to carry over a lot of my weapons from my single-player campaign. So I, like, started with a grenade launcher and my souped-up rifle and pistol and stuff. So that was nice, because we're playing on the veteran mode now. So things are supposedly harder, but it's difficult. I don't know. If things are supposed to be harder, but they aren't, because playing it with co-op just makes it naturally much easier. Because you don't have to babysit a dumb AI Sheva, you know, someone's just playing a Sheva. And they're not just going through ammo terribly and stuff like that. But, I mean, we've been having a lot of fun with it so far. I think tomorrow night we're going to try to get back into it. Hopefully we can play through that whole thing. But that definitely seems to be the way to play. Like I said, I was doing some babysitting today, along with our younger brother Chris, a 5-year-old and about a 2-year-old. This kid just loves Mario, so we just came there with our Mario and Luigi hats, and we just brought our Wii.
No,
we brought our Wii, and I brought any game that had Mario in it. We ended up just playing Smash Bros. The whole time because he was fascinated by the large collection of characters and stages in it. And playing Smash Bros. When you're playing with a young kid is a very different game because it's like the how do you let this kid win game. Even though he's jumping, yeah. even though he's, you know, jumping off the edge every single time, how you possibly make it so that he comes out in first place, which is a challenge in its own right.
There you go. He created a nice little meta game.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you know, we're having a fun time. Look, it was great because I was always just kind of working with this mind. Like the one time was like, I want to be Snake. I'm like, yeah, Snake is awesome. You keep being Snake. So I know he was like very proud and talking about how cool Snake was, stuff like that.
But, oh, that's adorable.
It was adorable. It's so great because this kid's parent. I mean, I've known this kid's dad since I was even younger than he was, and the kid's dad is just a total jock. And it's so funny that all he wants to do with me is just play these Nintendo games. He likes the first time all we had was an NES. He didn't even mind. He just likes playing even anything with Mario in it. He just loves it. So you know, besides for him insisting that Sonic was a Pokemon, it was a fun night.
Well, good.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Let's see, I mean, I've been playing MLB The Show, been loving that. Oh, we got Crystal Chronicles for the DES.
Yes, yeah, I was going to talk about that with you.
Yeah, we played it, the three of us, for a little bit, which was fun. It does play very much like the original Crystal Chronicles, except without a bucket, which was nice.
Yeah, that's really nice, actually. I mean, that was, aside from, like, I mean, the whole hardware requirements of the original one didn't bother me, but that bucket pissed me off. Because there was essentially a person had to be the bucket guy, and you, like, didn't get to play the game.
What was the bucket? I didn't play the original one.
So you had to go out into the miasma, and you had a bucket with some of the crystal drop or whatever that would keep like a little safety dome around you. And if you left the safety dome, you start taking damage. So basically, it was a mechanic to explain why you all had to stay on the same screen. But like, you literally had to carry it around. So someone had to be the bucket bitch.
Right.
Oh, that fucking blows.
I mean, you could put the bucket down when you had to fight.
Yeah, you
could
put it down, but then, like, enemies would go and kick the bucket.
Oh, yeah, they would, which was
annoying. Not die, they'd kick the bucket, and, you know, you had to go get it.
Right. Oh.
But this game rectifies all that, yeah. So it's all good.
The magic system's even simpler. Before the magic system, like, you had to collect the magic as you go. This time you just have all the magic, and you combine magic and stuff.
Yeah, and you don't have to, like, time your spell casting. It's just if all the rings are lined up, if someone releases it, then that'll just trigger it, which is nice.
And it's cool because as a magic, I was playing one of the more magic user people. One of my early abilities, but I think even anyone could do this, is you can push the L button to plant a magic, and then you can send out another one so you can combine magic on your own even.
Yeah, when you're playing single player, you can get, like, little henchmen.
Right.
Oh, that's pretty
cool. Well, no, that's not what I'm saying, though, AJ. I'm saying I could push the L, I could pick fire, plant a fire, and then get another fire out there so I can combine two on my own.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Right. And eventually, like, my guy, like, depending on what race you are, you get different abilities as you level up. I'll be able to stack three of them like that, and so on. Of course, my DS L button broke again, so the game's unplayable.
Right
now, which is freaking...
Aww.
I know. I can't stand it.
Your poor DS.
Yeah. Now I gotta get a DSi, which I cannot afford, so I have to worry about that. Oh, God. But...
And we should mention, like, this game is out on the Wii. It's, like, the same exact game.
Yeah, which is weird.
And you could even play them with
each
other.
Same price, even. It's strange.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah, it's either a really cheap Wii game or a really expensive DS game, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah. But it seems fun. So, I don't know. Someone else go. I'm done.
Alright, George, go ahead.
Okay, well, most of my time for the past week has been spent playing this game that's, it's actually pretty bad. But I'm playing it because there's a lot of potential for future success in it. I've been playing, brush up on my algebra and trigonometry because I'm going to game development school in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, that's a hard
one.
That
is a frustrating game, man. Seriously. You know, I hadn't played it in like 10 years, and, man, you don't play that game for a while and all your skills just totally lose.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm done with math. I'm glad I don't have to worry about math anymore.
Yeah, well, I was too when I went to film school, and I was like, yeah, maybe I want to make video games instead, and then they send me a math test with my application. I'm like, shit, I should have paid more attention.
They sent you a math test.
Well, yeah, it's part of the application. I mean, it's not like a test. It's like you kind of evaluate how comfortable you are, so you know how much catching up you have to do before classes start. I've got a fair amount. There's that. I've actually been playing a bunch of Rhythm Heaven because, Nintendo, I don't know if there are videos up of, Iwata's keynote at GDC. It was very bizarre. It wasn't really a keynote. The first half was him talking about how awesome Shigeru Miyamoto is. And then the second half was him just basically pitching all of their new releases, like it was a press conference at E3. And one of the things they did at the end of the press conference was hand out free copies of Rhythm Heaven for the DS.
Which is nice.
Which is apparently, what is that? That's coming out in like a couple of days, I think. I mean, it's great. It's, you know, it's basically WarioWare with a rhythm component. And it is a lot of fun. I've been playing that, and I've been playing a couple of iPhone games.
Yeah, let's do that.
Made by some developers that I met at GDC. One of them is called Radio Flare, and it's a you could almost compare it to Rez. You know, you use one hand to move your character around on the screen and the other to do this little, like, kind of lock-on mechanic on enemies and blow them up. That's a really fun game. The sound is very good. The graphics are, you know, they're only as good as they need to be, but it plays very well. It's a lot of fun. Then also been playing this game called Illis.
That's like on my radar.
Yes.
I need to get that one.
Steph Therion, the developer. He's from Barcelona. He is a totally awesome dude. We hung out on Friday night, and that was a great time. And this game is fascinating in that it's actually the first iPhone game that I've played that actually requires you to use multi-touch. It's the first game that I've played that actually requires you to use, like, more than one point of contact on the screen. It's not something that you can play just by poking the screen with your index finger. You actually do need to be moving shapes around with both hands. And it is an absolute blast. It's extremely hard, but totally worth it. I love this game. ELISS is the spelling. been playing that, and then I've also been playing Night of the Cephalopods, which I actually, I mentioned it on my site in this kind of,
oh,
like,
yeah, yeah,
long...
I was looking at the link.
Yeah, it was this long, angry ramble about narrative.
Which
and
I enjoy.
It's a, oh, thank you. Yeah, I'll be sure to plug my site later. but the, this game is made by, Miguel Sternberg of Spooky Squid Games, also a great guy. He's working on a game called Guerrilla Gardening, which I think is also a wonderful idea. Billed as a game about growing plants where you shouldn't. And it's just like really adorable concept of you like sneaking around these dystopian wastelands and trying to plant trees and shit where you're not allowed to. But Night of the Cephalopods is this, it's just like a sprite-based 2D, kind of survival shooter game. It's very, very short, maybe 10, 15 minutes long. But the main hook of the game is that the hero narrates the entire game. And not just in the sense that, not just in the sense of like Prince of Persia's Sands of Time, but literally like just about every action that you take will be narrated, based on what you're doing. So, like, if you get into a fight with these, like, floating, you know, these, like, really adorable floating killer octopi things, and, you know, you have your gun and you're shooting, and if you miss too many times, and he goes, "My gun fired randomly into the night. There was no rhyme or reason. I could barely hit them. Was it some subconscious wish for death that I could not bear to fire?" And, you know, it's just really, like, over the top, like, Lovecraftian. You know, really, really just laying it on thick with the cheese factor. And it's a really, really fun game, and I like it. So, Night of the Cephalopods is also a good one. I've been mostly playing these, like, kind of little games that I can jump in and jump out of really quickly, because most of my time has been spent on my Full Sail application and, like, taking care of my apartment and just, you know, generally being very animated and talking very loudly about game design.
Nice. Okay, well, I can go with
yeah,
another
absolutely.
Facebook game I've been doing.
Oh, man.
So, Scrabble has been out on the iPhone for quite a while, but I just found out while I was watching Co-op this week that they updated it a couple weeks ago with the Facebook Connect feature, because I played Scrabble on Facebook all the time with a bunch of my friends, and it now, like, the two can talk to each other, which it sounds innocuous, but it's, like, amazing, because, like, I can just play my Facebook Scrabble games everywhere. So, like, I basically always have something to do if I need to kill just, like, a couple minutes. It's nice.
Oh, that's a really cool idea.
Yeah, and, you know, for $5, I was like, oh, yeah, sign me up.
Wow.
Let's see. Oh, so I got to spend some time this week with Mad World on the Wii, which it's such a weird game. It's because it's so over the top. But it knows it's over the top.
Pichu adores that game.
It totally works. It's great. I played it for about an hour, and I guess it's only like 4 hours long, and that's probably good, because I feel like after much longer than that, it'd get really repetitive. But you've got John DiMaggio and Greg Proops doing like the commentary of what you're doing, and they are absolutely hysterical. Like, everything they say is hilarious. And, like, the friend of mine who, it was his copy of the game I was playing, he's like, first thing he tells me to do is go into the options menu, turn down the music, because you want to listen to these guys. And he's absolutely right. Like, it's hysterical. And, I mean, that art style works. Like, Wii developers take note. This is how you make a game look good on the Wii. Because you don't even, like, graphically, it looks good. Like, I just thought it was really fun. And I was thinking, too, like, you hear people talk about it, and I almost felt like, oh, they should just, like, you know, take out the motion controls and, like, maybe even make this, like, an XBLA and PSN game in addition to the Wii version. But really, like, it you would lose something if you didn't have the motion control, I feel like. Like, people kept saying that, and I was like, I see the videos, and you're like, ah, whatever, it's just, like, a motion cue. But it really works well, like, you know, when you're like swinging a guy over your head so you could throw him into a fan and you're actually swinging the Wiimote, just something about it really clicked with me. See, other than that, not really much else, I guess.
I kind of forgot that Chris got Guitar Hero Metallica, which we've been playing.
Oh, yeah. How's that?
You know, actually, we both like it a lot more than Guitar Hero World Tour.
Yeah, it seems like people are saying that, and I played it very briefly, and I actually did too, and I don't know what it is about it.
Well, the art
style
makes
it better than World Tour.
The art style is not as ugly and obnoxious.
Yeah, that's true.
They finally incorporated some things into it that they needed to from, like, Rock Band. Like, you can see where your progression is and, like, how many stars you're going to get during a song.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, like, the story mode is just much friendlier. Like, it's like you only need, like, 10 stars to, you know, advance to, like, the next set list. And, I mean, every set list is, like, 8 songs, so you only need to play it pretty much 2 songs every time.
Yeah. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and plus the Metallica songs are pretty good, and they're fun to play.
It's just, the only thing I don't get now is, like, so, you just said, you like this better than World Tour, but, like, does DLC work in all the games for Guitar Hero?
No, just, the only DLC that works is, Death Magnetic album, because that's Metallica.
See, now that's stupid, because you just said that this has a superior game experience, but now you can't use any DLC on it.
Right.
They need, like, it needs, if they're not going to do like Rock Band does, where you can at least download all the songs in the one game, at least the DLC needs to be completely universal.
I agree.
They're going to keep doing all these band packs.
Right, because, like, I would rather play this than World Tour. But yeah. That's probably more of a detriment to World Tour, because I just didn't like that at all. Also, I played Peggle a little bit, which you downloaded on my thing.
Oh, yeah. You like it?
I can only play the trial on my account. But, yeah, well, basically, I needed to wait 5 minutes for Beige, so I was like, what the hell is Peggle? I always heard people talk about Peggle. I never played it. But, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, Peggle is a fantastic game.
Yeah, it does that. I love that whole, you know, la, 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 la.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is when people like Peggle. Is like, you're like, oh, this is neat. And then when it starts playing Ode to Joy during, like, the slow motion zooming thing, you're like, oh my god, this is the greatest game ever.
Right. Okay. But,
yeah, I should say real quick, too. Chris did also downloaded the, Rock Band release of Pearl Jam's 10. We played the entire album start to finish, and it was really awesome. So, if you like Pearl Jam, definitely get 10 in Rock Band.
Okay. Why don't we, get these, game releases out of the way then?
Righto. Okay, on the Wii's WiiWare, Banzai Barber.
Yes, okay. Made by Martin Hollis, formerly of Rare. Awesome dude.
Wow.
Met him at GDC. He was one of the he was instrumental to the creation of GoldenEye on the Nintendo 64.
Huh.
See, I'm glad we have you here to know all this stuff. Do you know anything about this game?
Not very much, actually.
It's a first-person groomer.
Yeah. My Wii is in a cardboard box. I've not had a chance to play it. All of my consoles are in a box waiting to be reopened in Winter Park, Florida.
Hey, AJ.
So I've not had the opportunity for that.
He just said that his Wii is in a cardboard box.
Yeah.
Put your dick in a box.
I'm still not over it. Box. I'm still
that.
Not over
How'd
it.
I miss that.
No, those jokes are never going to go away.
No.
Nope. They're not even jokes. They just happen.
Let's see. Virtual Console, Super Punch-Out.
Cool.
Sweet.
Great game. But it's for me right now, it's so hard to spend $8 on Super Punch-Out when the Wii Punch-Out is coming out, which is going to be basically the same game, but better. Oh, speaking of same games, but are better. Another game I played this week. I just played at the Best Buy kiosk, but let me do it real quick. I played, like half hour of the, new Play Control Pikmin.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, how is that?
It's really, really good. Like, really good.
Wow.
Like, the only thing is, like, knowing that Pikmin 2 is coming in a few months, I think I'll wait for that. But, like, it's like, this is how this game was meant to be played. It's awesome. Huh. It works really, really well.
Oh, nice. I have to pick that up now.
Yeah.
I love Pikmin.
It's $30. It's a pretty good deal, I think.
Right, definitely. It reminds me of Resident Evil 4 being released for the Wii. It was like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
All right, so what else?
Okay, I guess, you know what? Next week we could start reporting DSiWare downloads. Ooh, exciting.
Woohoo!
New category. Right. Xbox Live Arcade, The Dishwasher, Dead Samurai, which a lot of people remember from the XNA preview of a year ago.
I loved Fiend's description of The Dishwasher. He said, you know those generic, non-existent, super violent games that bratty kids play in movies? The Dishwasher is that game.
Nice.
Like Mike TV from that new Willy Wonka game was just screaming, die, die, die. It's like, what is he even playing?
Yeah. Well, that game has the distinction of having a really hilarious achievement in it. Which is, apparently there are, I don't know anything about this game, but apparently there are guitar solos involved somewhere,
And if you're in the middle of a really sick guitar solo and you hit the Xbox guide button, you get the Peter Moore achievement. And that just made me so happy to see.
I'm so happy I get that.
I'm guessing that Peter Moore was demoing.
He was demoing Rock Band on the 360, and it was at a press conference. It was in front of an enormous audience, and he was in the middle of a huge solo and slams the Xbox guide button, and it goes right to the dashboard.
And then he did it like two more times.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did it multiple times.
Was it the guide button, or he just paused it, though? I thought he just paused it.
Well, there was one moment where he hit the guide button. I think that's how it's called, anytime you do that,
it's called pulling a Peter Moore.
Yeah.
Nice. That's pretty funny.
That makes me happy.
I love creative achievements.
Yes.
The only problem with that achievement is that it's worth 8 points, and if you're OCD, you'll go batshit over that.
Oh, no, that's the worst.
I already
have a bizarre number of points.
I know, mine is 2.
Does it end in a 5 or a 0? Makes me mad.
I think mine ends in like a 3 or something. I don't know. It's like...
Let's see, mine ends in a... It's not loading.
Whatever. Yeah, don't worry about that.
Okay. On the PlayStation Network, there's a game called Comet Crash for the PS3. And on the PSP, something, Seven Wonders of the Ancient World.
Okay.
Woo! I don't know what those are. And on Good Old Games, Subterra Core, Legacy of the Creator.
Subterra Core has the distinction of being the first game that Martin O'Donnell of Bungie composed the music for.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that was a really odd jump for him to make, but I think he's an excellent composer. And
yes, I agree.
I love that.
I know you like
that. Yeah, that was a great stab. That actually, I mean, like, regardless of how you feel about the Halo games, I think that particular stab has a way of just raising the hair on the back of your neck.
Yeah,
and I love music that does that. That's like my favorite thing ever. That's why I listen to the Princess Mononoke soundtrack over and over and over. Because it does the same thing.
Let's see. They got a game, Teen Agent, which, as their 100th game on the service, is free. It's an old point-and-click adventure game.
Oh, that's cute.
And they also came out with Far Cry.
Oh, yeah.
Which I didn't really think qualified as old, but...
Well, I mean, they've got their Ubisoft agreement. I'm really, really hoping that they dig back far enough to bring Rayman 2 up. Because,
ooh,
you know, I still have my copy of Rayman 2, but it is such a pain to get it to run on XP. And, I mean, you know, you guys know I'm totally gay for Michel Ancel. So, you know, just like Rayman 2, I still play that game on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's like my favorite 3D platformer. It's brilliant.
Yep. Yeah, I can cop to that.
Well, all right.
Okay, you done?
What's for real, Mike? Yeah.
Okay. Well, like I said, Guitar Hero Metallica came out 360 and PS3.
And Wii.
This surprises me. The new Leisure Suit Larry game that box office bust apparently came out for PC and 360.
I didn't even know it was close to coming out.
Yeah. Well. I wonder if it actually did, or is this just some goof up on GameSpot? If it came out already, wow. But man, have you guys seen any of the videos of that game? Man, does that look terrible.
Its art style is awful.
Yes. Just atrocious. Tokyo Beatdown came out for the DS. Death Track Resurrection for the PC. Dawn of Fantasy for the PC. X3 Terran Conflict for the PC. A lot of very generic titles on the PC. Death Track, Dawn of Fantasy, X3
Dawn of
Conflict.
Fantasy!
X3 has to be an expansion pack. X3 is a flight sim.
Yeah, a popular one. Also, we have... You know, there's Terran Conflicts. Also have Air Conflicts, Aces of World War II for the PSP. Don King Boxing comes out for the Wii. We have Gardening Mama for the DS. World of Battles for the PC. Train Simulator 2009 for the PC. Ski-Doo.
Snowmobile Challenge.
Yeah, for the 360. Okay, that's it. Not terribly exciting. Except for Guitar Hero, not a very exciting week. Alright. So it's time for... The Final Fantasy subtitles, which I've been looking forward to for about 2 months now.
Oh, Jesus.
Do you have one for every game, Reg?
I don't have one for every game. I mentioned this to Adjigai earlier, actually, that because I only had a Mac for the longest time, I didn't even have access to any of the Final Fantasy games until 7. And my attempts to go back to the previous games were fraught with misfortune. I do have several for Final Fantasy VII, though, because that's the one that I have the most experience with.
Okay.
Because I was a total geek at the time and played it way too many times.
Well, I'm just going to start from the beginning, and once you have a subtotal to contribute also, you just jump in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it. Go for it.
Man, no, you guys aren't going to get the storyline references to any of these at all, though, but someone out there will appreciate these. Okay, Final Fantasy I, The Paradox of Evil.
How's okay.
That, how do you feel about that one?
Paradox of it. Okay. You know what?
That,
you know
that
what
sounds
you have
like
to
legitimate.
Do? Okay. Now you know what you have to do. You can't just give us these subtitles. You have to say them with a Japanese accent. And if you can't, I will.
Okay. I got it. Final Fantasy II, The Pandemonium Reign.
Pandemonium Reign.
Yeah. He's doing these from now on. Okay.
You just after I say them, you just go with the subtitle. All right.
All right.
Okay. Final Fantasy III, The Orphans of Destiny.
What was that?
The Orphans of Destiny.
The Orphans of Destiny.
He's good at that.
All right. Final Fantasy IV.
I have this love ahead. For just like really raspy, fucking Toshiro Mifune voices.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Still shoot him at fucking Seven Samurai, dude. Come on.
No, I was serious. I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well,
never mind. Final Fantasy IV, The Light Within.
The Light Within. No, it's actually Within, because there's no TH.
Right. Final Fantasy V, The Shattered Crystals.
The Shattered Crystals.
Shattered. In my defense, that whole game is about crystal shattering.
Well, those are tangible.
At least you can shatter a crystal, you know? Like,
yeah.
Right.
I had no idea that you wanted to play these things straight. I've been trying to think of funny ones.
Oh, no.
That's probably why I had such a hard time coming up with them.
Oh, no. These are the real deal.
Oh,
I'm marketing these babies.
Oh, man.
What do you think so far, Azure Guy?
They sound legit. Like, I would not be surprised to see these tacked on.
I could definitely see those. They definitely sound generic enough.
All right, this one's good, just because I think ruiner isn't a word. Final Fantasy VI, The World Ruiner.
So, World Ruiner!
All right, okay, so Final Fantasy VII, you have one for this, I imagine, right, Reg?
Yes, I do.
You probably
actually,
have a bunch. Well,
I have a couple.
Let me do mine first. Yours are probably funny. Mine's just the Final Fantasy VII, The Streams of Life.
The Streams of Life.
All right. What are yours?
I have Final Fantasy VII, A Tree Grows in Midgar.
Wait,
to expand with A Tree Grows in Midgar. Yeah, that's, I don't know, maybe you have to have read A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. But then I had another one kind of running with the Crystal Chronicles theme, Final Fantasy VII, My Life is a Total Fraud.
This is terrible. Now I'm like, you're like, with my serious one sounding pretty much totally gay and you're being hilarious.
Well, it is my goal to undermine you.
So
okay.
I like you.
Oh man.
I do not want to be the weapon of mass destruction in your filial dealings.
Mass destruction, just my destruction.
Oh.
Okay. Final Fantasy VIII. I just took this from a song title from the game, The Succession of Witches.
The Succession of Witches. Yeah.
All right.
Final Fantasy VIII. I had Final Fantasy VIII. No, our heads aren't really that big, guys. Seriously.
How would that be? The Japanese voice?
Final Fantasy VIII. Love conquers all. That was too adorable. I had to run with that one.
Right. Right.
Or Final Fantasy VIII. I got you flowers.
Okay. Final Fantasy IX. I also just took this from a song title from the game. Final Fantasy IX, A Place to Call Home.
A Place to Call Home!
I think that would stop being funny, but it doesn't.
No, of course.
No, I had Final Fantasy IX. Really? He's a dude?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, is that it for 9?
What was another? Final Fantasy IX, The Tree of Ambivalence?
Okay.
I think that's all I got.
Final Fantasy X, The Sins of the Past.
The Sins of the Past.
I thought it'd be Sins of the Father.
There's no reason.
Final Fantasy X, Sins of the Father.
That's already Gabriel.
I love that.
That's Gabriel Knight's and a Next Generation episode, so we can't do that.
Oh, come on, but that was... Oh, that's too perfect. I don't have anything to top that. The Final Fantasy X, The Squid of Destiny.
Oh. Final Fantasy X was all fucking dream. Final Fantasy XI, which I never played. So I just went to the Wikipedia page, and I was like, the three nations unite. I was like, okay, it's Final Fantasy XI, Nations United. So there you go.
Nations United! I had Final Fantasy XI LFG fuckers. or Final Fantasy XI, Jesus Christ, it's been 17 hours!
Then Final Fantasy XII.
You'll notice that these subtitles are getting louder with each game.
Yes,
that's part of the motif here.
Something.
Yeah.
And my last one, Final Fantasy XII, The Defiant Immortal.
The Defiant Immortal.
There we go.
Well, Defiant. Jeez, that's really hard. Defiant. Yeah, I don't know. I think they probably just changed that. It.
They just changed that. They would never include the word defiant.
Nope.
Yeah.
Star Trek is very
Final Fantasy XII. Rabbit ears are hot.
Ah, nice. Nice.
Or alternatively, Final Fantasy XII thongs. Yeah. Oh, geez, I'm bringing back Cisco up in this piece. Oh, God, I'm getting that song stuck in my head now. Okay, quick, talk about something else.
Okay. Asgard, did you have a favorite? you don't even remember any of mine, do you?
They were all pretty good.
Yeah, right.
Well, I was like, in Midgard.
I was like, I gotta try and get ones that somehow tie the theme of the game and incorporate the plot.
Sitting here and I'm going, man, I gotta think of something that's actually gonna make them laugh. It isn't gonna sound like I'm trying too hard.
I love doing this.
Well, we're out of Final Fantasy.
I gotta come up with Final Fantasy subtitles that don't make me sound like I'm desperate to be cool.
Ooh.
That's why I could think of so few.
You guys should go play Final Fantasy I. I think you'll find that my title is very clever.
I'll get right on that.
you see, the whole thing is a time paradox.
Snake, what have you done?
And Final Fantasy II, the Pandemonium Reign, the last dungeon's called Pandemonium.
Oh, shit. Oh, Jesus, I think AJ's tapped out.
Final Fantasy III, the Orphans of Destiny, is a reference to all four characters are actually orphans.
Oh.
You really tried, didn't you?
I really did try. I tried very hard. I did this for probably about 30 minutes.
Oh, Jesus.
I was like, okay. And I would do ones. I'd be like, that's not good enough. But then I tried
and I completely misunderstood the point of this, and I was trying so hard to think of funny ones. I was thinking of ones that were actually legit and going, no, I can't use that. It's not funny. It's too accurate.
it's too accurate.
Okay, well, that was a resounding success/failure.
I agree.
I bet you could come up with one subtitle that you could just use for all of the games if you wanted to.
Probably. Final Fantasy, you know, Final Fantasy X, X in italics, algebra style, Sid's Despair. Yeah.
I feel like if I could come up with that said subtitle, that it would be pretty funny, but it's not coming to me.
Or just, or The Shadow of Doom. That works for all of them.
Oh, no. Make it the
Final
Fantasy.
Wait, Final Fantasy and Unsuspecting Destiny.
No, it's stupid. You're terrible at this. Anyways.
Well, no, but the dumber it is, the more Japanese it sounds. It can't possibly be any dumber than Infinite Undiscovery. What the fuck is that shit?
It's just another way of saying Final Fantasy. Same thing as Lost Odyssey. Same thing as Lost Odyssey.
Infinite Undiscovery means that you're constantly forgetting shit? Like, what?
Infinite Undiscovery.
What is that? Like do you do you start the game with everything and then just keep like forgetting where you put it? And then by the end of the game you've got that's a really great idea. I need to make that. Shit.
It's kind
of a game where you start with everything and over the course of the game you forget where you put all your special moves. And by the end of it you could just throw like one shitty fireball.
I bet in the Japanese dub of Star Trek, instead of saying the Final Frontier, they have Captain Kirk say Infinite Undiscovery.
Infinito Undiscovery.
These are the voyages. Okay. All right, man. What are
Star Date 2497. Captain's Rock. Captain's Rock.
Captain's Rock. Oh, this is terrible.
Oh my God! All somebody. Right. Oh God! I'm going to hell. Shit.
Yeah, we're getting borderline racist. So why don't we just end it there?
Well, that's okay. We can claim it was all Capcom's fault.
Yes.
How did they do that?
Because they started it.
How did they start it?
They were the ones who added a fat American to Street Fighter 4.
That's very true.
His bucket of popcorn. Fuck you. And his Hawaiian shirt. Suck a million cocks, Capcom. Oh, Jesus, I really hope nobody in the industry hears this.
Well, to me, yeah, their Japanese guy gets to be, yeah, our American, wait a second, no, because they get Ken, but they get Ryu, but we get Ken. They also, they do have
right,
the
ghetto Ryu.
Sumo wrestler.
Yeah.
we get the core Ryu, he's blonde and more American.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, Ryu looks pretty American.
Yeah, he does.
Ryu, excuse me.
Ryu, whatever. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone, to the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Yes.
Just a quick note. I think this Sunday, the guys are going to be recording a Commodore 64 episode.
Yeah.
Woo!
Are you guys
I've been trying to emulate some C64 games, but they don't work. Only one did.
Well, are you guys going to be on the show? I know I'm not, because I'm getting ready for WrestleMania.
I'll be on the show.
I am not
up to your party.
Yeah, I am not going to be. I'm not going to be on there. I completely missed out on the whole C64 era. So I have no fond memories of that to speak of. I've got no nostalgia for it.
I think what they wanted to do was they wanted to have like half the guys be like older people who remembered it, and the other half be newer people, like younger people who
hadn't
played
it. Total noobs who were like, yeah,
right. And
missed the boat on that one.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay, but, so that'll be coming,
Oh, also, I just want to plug, on the campus television group, Duke TV, we recorded our own, inaugural episode of a video game talk show called Press Start, which I actually just finished editing tonight, and it should be up on Monday, so.
Rock on!
I'll throw a link up to that in the, Twitter and on the blog, but, it's pretty cool. We talk about the Pit and Mad World, and we have a couple live matches of Street Fighter 4.
Oh, sweet! Isn't
naming video game shows fun? You just think of, like, words from video games.
Oh, yeah, and I did, like, a whole little animated intro inside of Lightwave and
Press Start.
It's good times.
Downloadable Pretty. Content. I want to do a new show that's called Horse Armor.
Talk about DLC.
Alright, so you can find our website. Well, first off, we're on SquadronShame.com, of course, and also our other site at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. You can follow us at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. You can contact me at tokoto@squadronofshame.com.
Adjguy711@squadronofshame.com.
Aren't you just adjguy@squadronofshame.com?
Oh, yeah, shit, you're right. It is just adjguy@squadronofshame.com.
Thank you.
Old habits and whatnot.
And I'm not cool enough to have a Squadron of Shame email address yet.
That's right, you're not.
Oh, yes, you are.
But
we'll get you.
Yeah, no, I'm not in a hurry.
No, I don't want him having one. He doesn't get one. He's not cool enough.
Oh,
like, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Man.
There you go. No, that's...
Hey, guys,
want to hear my really funny Final Fantasy subtitles? What are yours, Michaels? Oh, you really tried? What a loser.
Hey, I tried too, man.
Yeah, I bet. How can people contact you if they want to tell you what a piece of shit you are?
Ouch. Well, they can they can go to my site and post angry comments on my articles, burningnorth.com. And I can be contacted at gkokoris, @burningnorth.com or @gmail.com, whichever you prefer.
All right.
And twitter.com/gkokoris.
All right, yeah, I'm going to send my wave of angry fans at you.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. I better batten down the hatches and get the soldiers in line, I guess.
That's right. They'll die for me.
Oh, jeez. I may have doomed myself this day.
They will not take kindly to this insult. All right, so that's the show, everyone.
Yep. And sorry, before I forget, in complete seriousness, I want to send a huge thanks to Chris Rock God Whittington for letting me crash at his place for the week of GDC. He was a wonderful host. We watched The Wire together, and we had a blast. And also to Jen Frank for allowing me to crash on her couch after the GDC after party on Friday night, which was crazy. There are pictures, and don't look at them too closely. So Chris and Jen, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to seeing you guys next year at GDC.
All right, sounds good. So thanks, thank you. And all kidding aside, thanks a lot for coming on, Reg. It was great to hear from you, especially all those GDC comments.
Thanks for the much for the banter, guys. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Enjoyed it immensely.
We always enjoy having you on. Hopefully you'll be back on again soon.
That's what I'm hoping.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time.
See you later, guys.
Bye.